Hello and welcome to another episode of Casting Reflections on Black Mirror, the podcast that takes an episode of Black Mirror and, as it says, cast reflections. Taking you through this episode is me, Dan.
And me, Dan.
Again, I'm laughing because the things people don't see, this is about our sixth attempt in about 5 minutes to try start this recording, right? So,
do you know what's funny is I don't know, when sometimes you expect, I was expecting you to say a different introduction, like a different name. I've almost got a surprise that you said it right. Like, it took me back a little bit, but there you go.
Yeah, so I think we're both here to talk about season 5, episode 2 of Black Mirror, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Smithereens, I think I want to get straight into it this week because we had a brief exchange over WhatsApp today. And yeah, again, I think we might have different views on this. So season 5, episode 2, Smithereen, written by Charlie Brooker and directed by James Hoare, who did Hated in the Nation. As with the rest of season 5, it debuted on Netflix on the 5th of June 2019. There's a few people, normally I only give a couple of the people in the who starred in it, but we've got Andrew Scott as Christopher Gillaney. As you were, we were talking earlier, most probably famous as Moriarty, right, in Sherlock.
He was fantastic in Sherlock. Like, you know, I said to you earlier, could we just have a session talking about how good he is in Sherlock? Because I think he was that good. And he played that part of Moriarty very, very well. And there's kind of elements of kind of that craziness in this episode, isn't there?
Yeah, he definitely, I mean, he is obviously the main star of this show, but this episode, but he definitely does carry it. And we'll come into that, no doubt. We've got Damson Idris as Jaden. Topher Grace, who most people know him from that 70s show, appears as Billy Bauer. We've got Monica Dolan as C.S. Linda Grace. Amanda Drew as Hayley Blackwood. And I think the only other person to name, and I'm not going to pronounce the name correctly, but it's Rebo Kian as Penelope Wu. So I think they are the main people who we need to call out. So getting stuck into the episode, starts off with Chris in a car. He looks like he's doing some sort of meditation, doesn't he? And he is it turns out the company is called Hitcher, but he's like an Uber driver, isn't he? Yeah. He's waiting outside an office to pick someone up. There's a woman comes out. She comes out of a place called, he says, where do you work? Do you work in that building? She says, Smithereen. And he kind of grimaces, doesn't he? There's something, as soon as she says that name, he grimaces. Anyway, he takes her, because I think she doesn't work there, does she? So
she's a guest for the day, and he almost gets a little bit disappointed, doesn't he? That she doesn't work for Smithereen, that she's just a visitor.
Yeah, so that's why he grimaces. So the thing, it cuts to the next scene. The thing I've called out here was he's in a cafe, and it's called Dan's Cafe, which I called out just because we're called Dan. And
I didn't clock that.
It's a random thing. The only reason I put that in here is because when he's in there, all the other people in the cafe are looking at their phones, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're all staring at the phones and he's looking around and it's quite clear he's the only one who isn't. Anyway, cuts to the next scene where he's in a help group and a woman is talking about her daughter taking her life. And she's obviously clearly upset at that, but the other thing is she says she never knew why. She doesn't know why, and that's the thing that she finds hardest. We don't know why Chris is there because he doesn't speak, but the two of them, so that's Hayley, that woman, the two of them start talking. They end up, she says, do you want to go for a drink? And the next scene you see is them having sex in her house. Afterwards, there's a buzzer goes, I think, on her phone, and you know, he asked, what was she doing? And she says that she was trying to get into her daughter's social media account to find out if she could find out sort of any clues as to what happened. And yeah, it's called Persona. She says after the daughter died, she tried to speak to the people there to ask for the password, but they said no, didn't they? They said, no, we won't give you the password. So every day she's trying the 3 attempts at a password before it locks her out for 24 hours. So that timer was that, the fact is time up. And she's looking at a book, isn't she? And there's basically hundreds of words she's already got written in there and she's working through each potential password, isn't she?
When I watched that, you know what, I think too much about these things. But it would have been a lot quicker for her to get access to her phone and reset the password on the email? Do you know what I mean? There's only so many combinations you can try on an iPhone to get into the thing, isn't there? Four digits. Yeah. I just feel like she would have been able to do that quicker, reset the password, and then she would have been in. But not that I thought about hacking into people's phones too much, but it just felt like it was easier than guessing the password on social media.
Remind me never to leave my phone in your presence. So the next day he's outside that same building again, Smithereen, and he... You know, this is the thing sometimes where programs just make it a little bit heavy-handed, where he then looks at the glove box in the car, doesn't he? There's that slight little look and you think, okay, what could be in there? I think we know. Guy comes out, Jaden, in a suit, and he's going to the airport, and Chris asks if he works at Smithereen, and Jaden says yes, he does. So this is the person that Chris has been waiting for. So he pretends that there's been an accident on the motorway to take him a different route. Jaden is, I think, looking at his phone, so he doesn't notice that they're going down ultimately like a tiny country lane, and they come under a bridge where there is another car waiting. And that's when Chris pulls out the gun, points it at Jaden, and gets those, what are they called, like those tie grips or something to basically tell him to put them around his wrist. But basically he's taking him hostage, isn't he? Chris is asking him, and we find out, because he wanted someone that works at Smithereen, and Jaden says, look, I'm just an intern, it's my first week. And he was going to the airport to bring clothes to, I think, one of the higher-ups there, wasn't it? Someone called Vanessa, because she was going on a trip. And this was one of the first bits where I think that Andrew Scott was brilliant, because he just goes on a massive rant, doesn't he, about basically like young kids dressing up in suits, or why don't you dress for the job you've got sort of thing, doesn't he? He just goes mad.
Yeah, he goes like, why don't you dress like an effing intern? Why are you wearing a suit? And he kept on going on about this suit, didn't he?
Yeah. He was saying, you know, basically young people looking flash and being head down in your phone like you're so important. And it was just a great rant, which just felt really, really weird. It's wrong in a way of saying it was funny, but it's just the way he was so angry at it, wasn't it? It was just like a thing on modern society.
Yeah. And it was quite interesting. One of the things he said, and obviously a bit of the show is about people being distracted by phones. And the point he made was, you know, you've been looking at your phone the entire time and look where you've ended up. Like you didn't know, like the guy didn't notice he was going down some country lanes and coming to this bridge and like in the middle of nowhere. And I thought that's so true.
Yeah,
like it's definitely a problem when people just zone out and don't know what's going on around them.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have you probably been walking and you're looking at a phone and then you probably realise you've got to where you go, or you've probably walked past the turning you want to take. You just, we get so absorbed. By this point, Jaden shouldn't have been looking at his phone because he's now basically been held hostage by Chris. So they transfer to the other car and drive off, but they drive past a petrol station, and this again is kind of like the heavy-handed bit. Chris put a bag over Jaden's head, didn't he? And as they're going past the petrol station, there's two police officers in the shop bit, and she sees a guy sitting in the back with a bag over his head. So she says to her partner, we should go follow that car. They do. He's then getting panicked because it's on a country road. They're the only two cars, and they can see Jaden in the back, and they're kind of trying to get him to pull over. They stop, don't they? Or he stops, and as the police start getting out, he drives off to try escape them. And as they're going down the lane, there are two kids on bikes, and he swerves to avoid them, ends up in a field, and basically the car stalls or gets damaged and the car breaks down in this field. In the car, Chris asks Jaden, he says he wants to speak to the boss of Smithereen, called Billy Bauer. Jaden again pleads that he's only been there a week, he's the intern. So Chris says, who's the most senior person he knows? And it's brilliant, because again, it's when you get a name, he goes, Hannah in HR, she's looking after me. And it's funny again that it's, because we've all been there when you're that new person in the week and you've got your HR rep who's kind of looking after you or onboarding you. Problem is, he left his phone in the other car and doesn't know the numbers. In the meantime, police backup arrives, and Chris is using his phone to call Smithereen reception, which again, sorry, I just love this. Yeah, he's calling the reception to be asked to put to Hannah in HR.
But it just before that, he asked her, do you remember the number? Like, do you remember the number? And you're like, no one remembers any number anymore. Like, that's not a thing.
It's true. Do you know what? I was speaking to, I can't remember, it was a company this week. It may have even been doctor or something, but somebody was asking me for my home number. I had to look it up on my phone because I don't know the number. Honestly,
and
don't
people
know
used
number.
To know their home number off by heart, right? And just now, the only number I know is my mobile number, and that's because I've had to write it on so many forms.
Yeah.
But any number else, thing is, I can remember my home number from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I can remember it to the digit of exactly what it was with area code and everything, but remember anyone else's number, not a chance.
Well, that's the thing. You used to remember like 10 to 20 numbers because you used to know your mate's numbers.
Yeah.
Now, unless it was a number like you said, where you used to dial it normally before, you store it in a phone, don't you? You meet someone, you store it.
You just push a green button now. You don't need to have the need for it.
You dial a name now rather than a number, don't you?
Yeah.
I did pick up a couple of Easter eggs here. Don't know if you saw that when he's talking to the woman in reception.
No.
So on the back, you've got one of those like video screens behind a receptionist, and it mentions Prime Minister Callow to meet
he's
with...
He's back.
Yeah. Prime Minister Callow to meet with EU negotiator in Brussels. So he's still PM. So good for him.
Good.
And I couldn't see the message because I think it was growing up, but we saw that Saitu Gemu. I really should learn now. I'd say that Saitu Gemu from Playtest. So those were our first two, the two Easter eggs I spotted. Anyway, Chris gets put through to Hannah in HR, but she doesn't answer. He takes down the forwarding number and calls her on her mobile. Chris tells her that he will shoot Jaden if he doesn't speak to Billy Bauer. Then this is where it starts to kind of escalate up. So Hannah calls the COO in the States to try and get hold of Billy. Now, the American branch of Smithereen are able to, and this is, I think, going to be one of our talking points, isn't it? They're able to track down Chris's social or an old social media account of Chris and basically get all the info they need to know. And they start profiling him, don't they? And just to carry on with the social media theme, back in England, the kids that he swerved to avoid on the bike, they're taking pictures to put on their social media. And just as it does, the standoff between him and the police is trending, isn't it? It's yeah. Like one of the trending topics. So I picked up another funny thing here. I don't know if you saw it, but in the Smithereen office, they're actually now, I think, recording what he says. I don't know what they were able to do, but like put a tracker or put a transcription onto this. So even though they put hold music, he's hearing hold music, they're hearing what he's saying, isn't he?
Yeah.
Aren't they? And it was changing when he was saying effing, it was changing it to ducking. Did you see that?
I did notice that. I've only got five things written down for this episode, and that is one of them. Because we've all had that on predictive text, and none of us have ever used the word ducking, ever.
The funniest thing, I was messaging someone and said the only sandwich I was trying to buy a meal deal at the supermarket, I said they got one duck wrap left, but it actually translated duck into the other word, which is the only time I've ever seen it do it that way. Really bad timing as well, but anyway. In the meantime, the UK police have tracked down the car. Oh, I think they found the other car, haven't they? And they tracked it down to an address because they said it belonged to a 67-year-old woman. They break into that house and they see a picture of Chris and a lot of cuttings regarding Smithereens and Billy Bauer. A neighbour tells the police that the owner died a few months ago, and it turns out it was Chris's mum, and he moved in there when she died, and he's an IT teacher. He's been unemployed for a couple of years because 3 years earlier, he was involved in a car accident where a drunk driver ploughed into him, killing two people, including one was the drink driver and the other was his fiance. We're now starting to build up a picture, aren't we, that he's obviously a very angry man for something, but we know that his life has kind of gone downhill since his fiance died in this accident.
And I think at that point, they mentioned that it's a victim of drink driving, isn't it? They mentioned that the other person's drink driving, and that's what the cause of the accident was.
Yes, it was a truck, drink driver driving a truck that, ploughed into his car. This was another thing I picked up on. So the FBI / Smithereen American branch call the police in the UK, and they're giving them the lowdown on it. And they call him high intellect, low income, which I thought was very, you can imagine when companies are trying to profile their market that they slot us into these sectors.
Yeah, and I think at that point, the guy who had negotiator on his shirt in the UK, when they said that, he instantly said high risk. That is the profile for a high risk person, which I found that bit quite interesting as well.
Yeah. Now, they want to try put him through to Billy, or they keep saying, can we get him to Billy? But he is on a retreat. So we see a car drive into a building in a deserted area in Utah, like a mountainous area, where we find Billy Bauer, who is played by Topher Grace, and he is told the news. Now, against all wishes, Billy says he actually wants to speak to Chris. They will tell him it's a bad idea. Now, in the meantime, while that's happening in the car, Chris tells Jaden that the gun isn't real to try and reassure him that he is safe. But because he's not aware, or maybe he suspects, but he's not aware that he's being listened to, we know the police and the Smithereen exec also heard that the gun is fake. This then makes the police move in. Chris then checks, he notices all of a sudden the police encroaching in on him, checks social media, sees the fact that he's got a fake gun trending. So he shouts out that the gun is real and shoots at the police, and the sniper fires back at the car, just narrowly missing him. Or I think it scratches him, doesn't it? It grazes him. Billy prepares to speak to Chris, but again, first checks his socials accounts and login activity. And then he invokes what he calls God mode, doesn't he? And gets through to Chris.
So, because they refused to give him a number, didn't they? And then he uses God mode, which probably is some sort of data protection breach.
Yes.
At some point, but he's used his God mode to get the number to go against everyone else's wishes.
Yeah, and it was quite interesting because he says to the person who's driven to see him, he goes, do you know the one perk of being like the head of the company is I get to invoke God mode. He gets through to Chris, and Chris starts telling Billy that he himself was obsessed with Smithereens, and his fiance was too. And he said they were driving back home from visiting his mum. She was asleep in the car, and it was a long, boring drive. So I think he says that the notification goes, and he couldn't resist. He starts checking the Smithereen notifications when the cars collide. Now, he obviously is blaming himself. He says it was his fault because he wasn't looking. But because the other driver was a drink driver, he automatically got the blame. And he allowed that to happen, didn't he?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, and the other driver actually died as well, didn't he? So
yeah,
he's the only survivor, which means, you know, he can kind of not get away with it. I guess that's the wrong word, but he can let a dead person take the blame.
Absolutely. Now, this is the next. So there was a speech at the beginning, the rant about the interns and the suit. And this is another great sort of speech by Chris here, where basically he says that it, you know, they're designed to make it as addictive as possible. And what's good here is Billy was saying himself that he was planning to quit as CEO because he ultimately isn't happy about what his company has turned into. So Chris implies he was going to then kill himself, but Billy begs Chris to let him help. Chris then thinks of one last favor to ask, and I didn't see this coming. I thought this was really good. Chris says, do you know the people over at Persona? And Billy says, yes. So what you then see is Haley, the woman from the start, get a phone call, and basically Chris convinced Billy to get Persona to give the mum the password to her daughter's account and she could log in. And ironically, it was the letters on a boat that appeared on a picture of their holiday, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought that was quite a cool little twist. Like, I really liked that.
And yeah, that photo was in front of her all the time, wasn't it? Because it was in front of the computer. So carries on. So like we said, we know that he wanted to speak to Billy to tell him the app is addictive. They do it intentionally. After all that, Chris tries to release Jaden, but Jaden himself also urges Chris not to kill himself and then fights to take his gun off him. The police see this and see the struggle and they're worried. So they get their sniper back out. The police chief then orders the sniper to take fire when he can. as they struggle, you see the gun or you hear the gunshot, but you don't see what happens. It cuts to then around the world, people looking at their phones, basically showing that life goes on with people staring at their phones, right?
What I took that to be is everyone saw a tweet that kind of posted what the outcome was, and then they kind of went back on with their lives.
Yeah, yeah, good point. I kind of just took it as you got a tragic end. Well, we don't know what happened because it cuts to that scene. You don't see what happens. But I kind of took it that, again, it's just another day where the tragic event has happened because of social media addiction and those people. But yeah, I guess you could say that. So to sum it down, a guy gets into an accident because he was looking at his phone for social media, blames the company. The head of the company agrees. And you've got that other little twist about the woman from the start, Hayley. So over to you first. What are your thoughts on the episode?
I was bored at the start of this episode. But when it then became clear this was about social media distractions, I actually started enjoying it again because I think that's quite a topical, debatable subject. But up until that point, I was quite bored. So I thought the second half of the episode was quite good. I struggled on the first half.
That's interesting. I think I preferred the first half a little bit more. I think I said to you, I mean, I don't want to give score away just yet. I don't think it was a great episode. I think Andrew Scott and the guy, to be fair, also his interactions with that Jaden, I thought they were some of the best bits, the conversations they were having. It just felt a little drawn out. The social media element, the twist about him in the car I thought was good. But there was some, the twist about him looking at the phone when causing the accident. Now, there was a few things I picked out. What I liked was the fact that the social media company are more in the know than the police, the British police.
I love that bit.
Yeah.
The fact that every time the police tried to reveal some news that they just discovered through their methods, the social smithereen just interrupted and goes, oh yeah, we know it, and this, and this, and this. And I thought that was quite clever because that was kind of like saying social media is such a powerful tool and data is so powerful that they've got access to that just at a click of a finger. They can find out anything they want about someone in a completely different country, you know, not a nobody, someone who's not famous. They can just log on, look at the data and paint a story of what's happened. I thought that was a pretty powerful scene.
The thing I didn't like is, again, it kind of made the British police look inept and almost like a comedy police force in that sense, didn't it? But yeah, it's incredible, isn't it, that it's also showing that if we put our lives out there on social media, technically anyone can get a profile of you. It's, you know, it goes back to like, is it a Be Right Back? I can't remember the other one where a person's personality is in a social media account.
It's scary to that point, isn't it?
So I had that, and the fact that they were more in control of the investigation than the police were, I put.
And the other thing, and why, you know, you mentioned there about the UK police being inept, the other thing that made him look useless is that negotiator. My God.
That was a comedy character, wasn't
that
it?
That guy was terrible. Like, it took him, it felt like he was just there hanging around to start with. And then when he got involved, within a few minutes, he had to drive off because he was too much of a risk.
Yeah, and he actually made him proper drive away, didn't it? He goes, he just looked like a kid, a naughty school kid that then negotiated, didn't he?
It was a pretty, he made to look pretty useless.
It was also interesting about the fact, going back to how they investigated him, it was, even when they saw that Billy, the first thing he wanted to do was check it. And then, even down to like the last login activity. And it was like, seeing how often they log in. And you must know that they have, of course, well, I guess a lot of the times now you don't log in, but it's more maybe making the app active. But they've got, these companies have got details on how many times we open up that app and look at it. And that's kind of frightening as well, right?
Yeah, it is. I was just sorry, go on with your point.
What were you looking at? Your app?
I was looking at some stats because I was just in, because, you know, this whole thing has come from someone being distracted by a notification while they're driving.
Yeah.
And I was just interested to see what the actual stats were for accidents that happen while people are glancing at a phone. And I think it's quite interesting because people forget that why they're doing this. You know, they might be traveling at 70 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour. And there's one here that says texting while driving is 6 times more likely to cause an accident than driving drunk, which I thought was quite interesting. Answering a text takes away your attention for about 5 seconds. Traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field.
Wow.
Like, that's scary, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
You yeah. just forget kind of how fast you're in. And it says that using, this is obviously in America because it uses the term cell phone, but using a cell phone while driving leads up to 1.6 million crashes each year.
Cool. Now, is it illegal over there to use a phone? I'm not sure if it is.
Oh, I would have thought so.
Wherever you're listening in the world, it's definitely illegal here in the UK. But that's only been, well, probably longer than I think, but it feels like it's only been like 5 or 6 years, right?
Yeah.
Possibly longer than that. My memory is shocking. But on a side note, actually, I was watching a programme last night. I was talking about this at work. So in 1968, so we're going back a bit, drink driving wasn't actually, it seemed to be not that big a deal to the British public, right? Because that was the year they brought in breathalyzer test, and people were in uproar about this test to potentially see if people were drink driving. And it was like they were asking one guy, and he goes, "So do you drink and drive?" And he said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, how many drinks would you have on a night and drive home?" He goes, "Oh, about 7 or 8 pints." And then they said, the reason I brought it up was because you started saying the figures. They said, yeah, people were so against it, but the next year, car deaths in England had gone down by 11,000. So there's a clear correlation between drink driving and safer driving, which people just didn't want to accept at the time.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It's because when you do this, when you drink drive or when you answer texts or look at your phone while you're driving, it's not just you you're putting at risk. And that's the scary bit of it, isn't it? Because you're trusting all the other people on the road to drive safely. It's everyone around yeah. you that, yeah. that's also at risk by you doing that.
Well, there's been examples here of people having accidents, like changing a CD over in their car yeah. or changing a radio station. So, and these are things that are, you know, quote, legal to do in the car, let alone, you know, it goes back. I think we were saying, I can't remember. I said it in our Room 101 episode. You used to be able to smoke on a plane.
Yeah.
Now we look back at that and think, how did we ever do that? And now I look back and think, yeah, when you used to hold a phone to your ear and, like, you know, look down and pick up your phone in a car, how was that ever, you know, legal? You look back at it now and, yeah. and it feels strange, doesn't it?
Yeah. And you used to have the Bluetooth. I remember some people used to have the Bluetooth earpieces, didn't they, when they were driving. That was deemed okay. Yeah. But actually, that's quite difficult as well, because when you take away your sense of hearing while you're driving, that can also lead to problems.
Yeah. Well, you've got this big thing clipped to your ear. What if it falls off or something? Not your ear, the thing. So did you get anything in America? I've just got it here. So I don't know how up to date this is, but no state bans all cell phone use for all drivers, but 36 states and DC ban all cell phone use by novice or teen drivers. And this was September last year, so it feels like you can still use it over there. What else did I have? Oh, the two kids on the bike, they were told to get away, weren't they? But they stayed around and they were live tweeting the standoff. And again, that is a sign of the times, isn't it?
That is a sign of the times. The fact that they're not, like, shocked at what's going on, that there's life at risk, but they are broadcasting into social media what's happening. Which is exactly what would happen. You know, you see comedians joke about it, don't you? Like, you know, if all of a sudden the sun blew up or something like that, people take up their phones and take a video of it. Like, it's just the way of the world.
There was two things there. One is obviously they're tweeting because they want to be there and get the viral tweets. But it was also, though, that he, as the criminal, was then able to track what was being done against him. Which... Yes. Is really obvious now when you look at it, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's quite funny how, actually, because, you know, he's just looking at the news, because, you know, social media is so much quicker than the news, isn't it, to find out stuff.
Yeah.
And how many times have we found out, like, a really big headline because we go on social media rather than watching, looking at the BBC website? You know, I've learned about famous people dying. I've learned about tragic events. I've learned about big sporting headlines because yeah. I'm scrolling through social media. I don't think yeah. I ever learn anything from BBC anymore or the websites or the news.
I'm not going to say I've stopped watching the news, but I've stopped pretty much. I don't have a news app on my phone anymore. I tend to not watch the news. We have the news sometimes when I wake up, the first thing I'll stick it on a news channel just because I just don't like those early morning programs. But my wife watches the news a lot and she's got a couple of news apps on her phone. And sometimes she'll say, oh, do you know such and such has happened? I'll say, yeah, I know, because I've seen it on Twitter.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've seen it before she has, and she's got the news apps and the news channels. And whilst we said before, you do have to take things with a pinch of salt that you see on social media. But generally, yeah, if you want to know the breaking news first, yeah, it's going to be on, sorry, X. It's going to be on X, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, agreed.
And the only other main thing that I picked up was, and I think you said it in a text, so I'll hand over to you. Yeah, it was about Billy Bauer, the head of the company.
He's awesome. I really liked him as like a person. I thought to start with, he was, you know, when they approached him at the start and he was like quiet and meditating and he kind of opened his eyes to see it was, originally I thought he was going to be a bit of an arsehole about
it. Exactly.
But actually he was proper cool about what was going on. He wanted to help. And what I thought was also interesting about him is his life is digital. His life is social media. You know, that's his career, that's his life. But even he is needing to have a 10-day break from it on a digital detox because he can see that it's detrimental to his health. And I thought that was quite interesting that he kind of could recognize that, but it is not good for his health, mental health. And he was taking that break to kind of get away from it. And he obviously makes a big deal about doing this 10-day break because all his staff were fighting to contact him, weren't they? Yeah, so I thought that was really cool. And I also liked the way he interacted with the girl that bought the briefcase to him and the laptop and the phone.
Yeah.
Because he kind of got halfway through a conversation and then he realised he didn't know what her name was.
Yeah.
So he made sure he knew what... He just seemed like a really cool boss to me.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I had, that normally these people are portrayed to be arses, don't care about people, you know, it's just about the money, right? Whereas it seemed really heartfelt, didn't he, when he was speaking to Chris and, you know, basically saying that he invented this company, he built up this company, but then what it became isn't what he wanted it to be ultimately.
I wonder if, like, it'd be interesting, you know, if you were to interview Mark Zuckerberg as an example and go, you know, when you started Facebook and how it became, yes, you've become a millionaire, but did you think it was going to be like this and are you happy with the way that it's gone? Because social media has evolved with the times and it's probably been a bit exponential on that curve, hasn't it? It's probably got quicker than anyone was really expecting. I do wonder how the bosses really do feel about social media and whether they feel content with how it's gone.
I reckon the ones who are still there probably love it because, yeah, they probably are raking it in. I think that was the interesting twist in this episode, was to make him a likable character because it's unusual.
And well, he almost wanted to give it up, didn't he? Because he's like, I don't like what it's become.
Yeah, that's it. So rather than saying making him a likable character, was making him a character that felt like he really didn't want to be there, but maybe just didn't want to give up his company. This was his baby.
Yeah.
But it's become a monster.
Yeah.
Because of shareholders, you know, etc.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
And the song that was playing at the end, and I'm not sure if it was playing at the start, but was Can't Take My Eyes Off of You, which I thought was an interesting choice.
Yeah, obviously kind of alluding to the accident and not being able to take your eyes off the phone.
Those were the main things I picked up from the episode. Was there anything?
No, as I said, I quite enjoy when you're hosting because you obviously make a lot of notes. And when I make notes when you're hosting, I've made 5 bullet points and I think we've covered them all, and everything else I just wing it. But the only disappointment, I think, from, like I said, I think the start was a bit slow to get into it. I like the fact that mum was able to get a bit of closure on her daughter committing suicide. I thought that was a nice touch. I would like to have known that the hostage survived.
Oh, yes, yeah.
That bit we don't know for sure, and he could quite easily have been shot by those snipers and the police when they were trying to stop it. And I think I quite would have quite liked to have known that he survived. I think they could have added that at the end.
Yeah, really, really glad you said that, because I hadn't made the note. But again, it's an ending dilemma, isn't it, that we've got with the show. Now, again, it gets you talking, because if you look at it, while you feel for Chris, ultimately he did cause an accident. We've got to believe now the other person involved was a drink driver, so obviously breaking the law as well. You've got to put part of the blame on this accident at Chris's feet.
Yeah.
He's kidnapped someone, held them at gunpoint, so he should be apprehended, right? He should be arrested and taken in. Now, what you're also hoping is that Jaden, it was just his first week. He just reports into Hannah in HR, you know. We're hoping that he's got away, absolutely, like you said. But you don't get closure on that. You don't get closure on that.
And obviously, like, the thing took a turn, because he was never expecting the police to get involved. That was just unlucky in his plan, wasn't he? He was expecting just to hold this guy or a member of staff from Smithereen hostage, and was able to do it at his own pace. So the whole thing was sped up because the police spotted him at that petrol station.
Yeah, that was the thing. If he hadn't put that bag on his head,
he would have been fine. If the guy was just sitting in the back, he would have been completely and utterly fine, wouldn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? As I've been talking about this, I feel like I actually like it more than I thought I had done. I think often that's talking to you about it. You just start enjoying certain aspects. There's a couple of things I picked up regarding the episode. So Brooker wanted the series to contain an episode without any futuristic technology to remind viewers that Black Mirror is not solely a science fiction show. So other episodes to have a similar theme are The National Anthem and Season 3, Shut Up and Dance. And I think there's something in that, isn't there? We love talking about the ones with the tech, and we try to, how would it be if we had it in real life?
They made a point at the start, didn't they, of saying it. I don't know what year you said this episode was released, but they made a point of saying it was London 2018.
Yes.
Which I think would have firmly put it in the present, wouldn't they, if at the time.
Yeah, so this was on 2019. This debuted in 2019, so the year before. Yeah. So, yeah, he intentionally wanted it to be about human reaction, I guess. And yeah, the addiction to mobile phones and social media was well in effect then, so it was putting that out into people's faces, right?
Yeah.
The episode was inspired by an experience Brooker had in a car hired via Uber when the driver got out unexpectedly, left him in the car, but he was only getting a bottle of water out the boot. So that was when that idea came to him about being left at, you know, sort of being in an Uber car and being left alone by the driver. He also began a story around how a person grieves the loss of a loved one differently when their life is permanently inscribed in social media. So that is another thing. We've discussed it before, haven't we? Like, what happens when somebody dies? What happens to their social media accounts? That is, yeah.
Do we know the answer to that? Do we know what happens to people's social media when people pass away?
I'm sure I've spoken to a couple of people where they do get the password. I think that because they're able to then log in to say, you know, such and such has passed away, you know. I don't know if they then get rid of it. I don't know. Because I think she says in this episode that they gave her the option to create it like a memorial, still wouldn't let her log in, would they?
It's interesting. It'll get to a point, probably not too far away, but this is the sort of thing it gets written about in a will. That, you know, you provide your access to someone and then social media companies will give them the access to that account. It'll be, here's some money, here's house, here's some of my antiques, and you can have my social media access.
Here's my TikTok login details. Yeah. Well, we know that there are people on Twitter, aren't they, that generate followers and followers and followers to then, I think, sell the account because you're getting an account full of followers. It's like, I was talking about this at work the other day. You've got online gaming world. People sell accounts because it's got a load of in-game items which are valuable and worth a lot, and they sell these accounts for a lot of money, and it's a weird scenario, isn't it?
Yeah.
The last thing before Easter eggs, this is a funny one because most of the filming took place in England, but Topher Grace, who was Billy, that was filmed in Spain. But that's not the funny thing. Andrew Scott can't actually drive.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe he does now. I don't know. So the fact that he's like an Uber driver and he can't actually drive.
You think that'd come up in the interview, wouldn't you? Like all the additions. He goes, actually, I need a stuntman to drive because I can't do it.
Now, I think I knew that when I came back to watching the episode. So there is a scene where they're driving where his hands are literally just on the steering wheel, not moving. You know, yeah. there's nothing. But I thought that was hilarious. I guess that's why he's an actor, right? So
yeah, he played the part of a driver quite well.
Yeah, forget about everything else that happened. I really believed he was driving the car. Yeah. Okay, and some Easter eggs other than the ones I mentioned. While waiting at Smithereen, a location shown on his pickup app is named Bandersnatch Theatre from Bandersnatch, which we've not done yet. While waiting at Smithereen, a location shown on the pickup app is Skelane Street, which again is the White Bear continuation. One of the names shown in the phone of someone from Smithereen is Nate Packer, and Nate Packer is the name of a character in USS Callister. And on one of the main boards, so I must have missed this. So again, on that main board at the London Smithereen HQ, there is a hashtag Sea of Tranquility reboot, which was the name of the TV show that featured in Nosedive. So yeah, some cool little Easter eggs there. Before we get onto the score, is there anything else you want to talk
about?
Yeah,
two things. Do you think it would be picked up as suspicious if an Uber driver hung around the same building every single day? Do you think that would be flagged up on any system somewhere and go, that's pretty weird?
Not really having used Uber, I don't know, because normally they just go, don't they just go to wherever the report's coming? I guess possibly, because how much money can he be doing? I don't know.
If he's only picking up people from the same place, I guess if it was like a train station, it kind of makes sense. But from the same building, every single time, he's just sitting there waiting for jobs to occur. And I can't believe it took him that long to find someone that worked in the building. Yeah, he was doing it for quite a while, wasn't he, before he actually got someone?
Yeah, because as we were saying, he was looking really annoyed every time. So he's possibly been doing that for ages, because then he's got to take that person to where they want to go, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the second thing I was going to ask is, what are your feelings on a digital detox? Could you see yourself, like when I saw him do that and I was like, that looks peaceful, I'd quite like that.
Do you know what? I would. And for whatever reason, it wasn't because of this episode, because I never took it as a digital detox. That's another thing I kind of missed. I just took it as, you know, again, boss of a company just wants to go out and spend a bit of time on his own. I would love the idea. Do you know what it is for me, though? With the podcast, I'm so into the social media side or looking at social media and things because of the podcast that I feel like I can't because of that. But yeah, I absolutely think a couple of weeks away from all things, like even mobile phone, like cell phone, I think that can only be good, right?
Yeah, I think so. I feel like I spend quite a lot of time on my phone, whether it's wasted time watching, you know, Insta videos or TikTok videos or texting people just to create conversation. The thought of just going a whole weekend without a phone. You know, if you gave the people that need to contact you, if you gave them like a landline number and say, look, if you need to get me, get this. But I quite like the idea of not having my phone. I think that'd be quite therapeutic.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you think about it, even when you used to go on holiday, right, even maybe sort of a few years back, you never used to have roaming, or that it was extortionate and not everywhere had Wi-Fi. But in the last probably 10 years, you know, all the hotels have got Wi-Fi. You can use and rely on your cell phone abroad, yeah, because of Wi-Fi and roaming. And now,
wasn't that long ago where you'd go abroad and you consider, should I leave my mobile here? Yeah, home, yeah. Or should I take it with me? Like, yeah. Because you just wouldn't use it while you were bored.
Yeah.
I quite like that. The idea of not being connected.
So, yeah, even then now, you know, at night, sort of when you get back to the hotel and you've got like 10 minutes to kill, yeah, you're kind of looking at the social feeds again. So, yeah, the idea of it does appeal. The idea of it does appeal. So you as well, yeah?
The idea of digital, I've done it a few times. Like, I've been out for a day and not taken my phone, so I quite like the concept of it. But yeah, I do quite like it. And what do you think of the name Smithereens for social? It's very negative, isn't it? As a word.
Yeah, it's like, a funny word, isn't it?
Tatters and debris and aftermath of an explosion.
Yeah. Again, hadn't thought of that. Sorry, I just wanted to go back to your detox thing. So, what you need to check the next time, because you said you've done it for a day, it's how you felt when you got back onto it.
Well, I tell you how I felt.
Yeah.
Because when I got back, so I did it for a day, and when I got back, and this is my fault entirely, my family had invited me to go out for dinner in the evening.
Yeah.
On the Sunday evening, and I didn't respond to them. I didn't really give them an answer. I didn't acknowledge them, which is my fault. I should have gone back to them. So when I left my phone at home and went out for a walk and went out to countryside and just left it at home, when I got back, I had about 30 missed calls of people like my family worrying about me, but I hadn't responded to this dinner thing, and now all of a sudden I wasn't near my phone, and it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because people are used to you being connected. So the fact that when you're not connected, people see it as abnormal, it's the flip side to it, isn't it? Like, people feel like you should be able to be connected at any point of the day ever. So when I got home, I felt good just before I checked my phone and got quite stressed that I had people concerned about my well-being.
Okay, so the next time that happens, I'd love to know how you feel when you first get back on. Is it like a rush, an adrenaline rush? Going back to that, it's funny you say that, because we were talking at work, it was about a week ago, and there's a few younger people there, and one of them, she said, I don't know how you all sort of survive without mobile phones back in the day. And I said, it was brilliant. You'd go out, you'd get back at 9 o'clock at night, and nobody would question it. Now, going back to your example there, yeah, because if they were to call your house, they'll say, Dan's out. It's fine. Keep calling it Dan's out.
Left at that, yeah.
Yeah, but they called your phone, so something's wrong.
Yeah.
So, and that's why you had the 30-odd calls, because they're worried about you, because absolutely, why haven't you answered your phone? It's on you.
Yeah, exactly. It's just the world we live in, isn't it? Is people expect your phone to be within your reach at all times, or within a short amount of time.
Yeah, that's a really interesting story. That is, yeah. So why don't you answer me when I call the 30-odd times I've called you?
that's just what's the word when you're filtering your calls? Screening. I'm screening my calls at that point.
Right, so on to the important bit. What's your score?
I'm going to give it a 7.5. Like I said, I felt the first half was slow. I thought Andrew Scott in it was brilliant, but I liked him before the episode, and I think it had a good ending with good topical discussion points. So I'm going to give it a 7.5, and just kind of bringing it down from the 8s and 9s because of that slow start.
I had 7 in my head. Because you've given it 7.5, I say I'm actually now going to give it 6.8. I say I want to make it that
feels a bit influenced.
I want to make it a bit lower than yours, you see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 7. I'll stick to the 7. That's what I had. It's an okay episode. I like the idea of it. As you said, I think Andrew Scott's brilliant. I think him and that Jaden, the way they acted, were really good. And, the twist with the mother of the girl, and also, the head of the company, how they portrayed him. So I think it's good. I wouldn't call it outstanding. So the next episode is actually, it's the final one in this series, isn't it?
This is a short series, yeah.
Rachel, Jack and Ashley 2, featuring Miley Cyrus. So I do remember seeing this. I don't remember it, but I do remember seeing it.
I remember seeing her in an episode, but I couldn't tell you what it was about at all. So
you'll be telling us next week. So
I'll be telling you next week, yeah. I'll make more notes for this one.
Anything else before we go?
No, nothing from me.
I just want to shout out the Podpack Collective. I want to shout out Seismic Cinema. I've actually got an idea for an episode with them, which I'm going to tell you about when we stop recording. So on that, we'll see you next week for the final episode of season 5.
1, 2, 3, 4. If I want your opinion, I will give it to you. Come on, check what we've got.